Acts chapter 28 and verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Our Lord Jesus Christ, 3 years previously, had visited the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. It was a moment of fear and uncertainty for the Apostle, his faithful servant. It was so because there were those who were endeavouring to kill him. And it seemed as though his life was now hanging by a thread. But when the Lord Jesus came to him in the darkness, he came to him with words of comfort and courage. And we read those words previously in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, where we were told that the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now in the intervening 36 months, Paul had been kept in prison. He had been tried in court multiple times, with the prospect of being condemned every time he was tried. He had been transported in chains. He had been threatened with death. He had been shipwrecked. He had been bitten by a viper. And then, just as the Lord Jesus Christ had said, he was brought to Rome. And this is where we find the apostle today. He is in Rome, having completed this long and arduous and fearsome journey. And he had been brought to Rome just a few days previously. Within days, the apostle began fulfilling the task that the Lord Jesus Christ had set him those 3 years previously. He began seeking opportunity to declare the gospel, because that's what means by him speaking about the kingdom of God. He was speaking about Christ's rule upon this earth and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many things in this passage that we could mention, and I'm going to split this passage into a few different parts. We're not going to complete the whole of the chapter today, because I don't want to pass anything by that's important, but neither will we be able to speak about everything that is said here in these few verses. We might, for example, have spent time dwelling upon Paul's relative freedom and the surprise that that might cause us, that he was able to hire a house of his own and there stay for the duration of his time in Rome before he was to appear before Caesar's court. That surely wasn't a common eventuality. Or we might wonder that the Jews had sent no message from Jerusalem to the Jews in Rome in order to be condemning of Paul when he arrived at Caesar's court. Or we might wonder about the odd mix of curiosity and arrogance that the Jews expressed regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. But what I want to do today is just very quickly draw your attention to three other things that Paul mentions in these few verses before us. And the first one is this, the little phrase that he uses about the hope of Israel, because it's a delightful little comment, and it is very appropriate the way in which the Apostle Paul brought his thoughts together as he preached the gospel to these Jewish men on this occasion. These were the leaders from amongst the Jews, and Paul speaks to them of the hope of Israel because Paul was speaking to them about the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He is God's Messiah. And this was the Messiah that the Jews both looked for and longed for and had done for hundreds and hundreds of years. The Messiah was Israel's hope. And so therefore, when Paul speaks to them about the hope of Israel, he is speaking to them about that one that they looked for and anticipated to bring them liberty, to bring them prosperity, and to bring them an earthly glory, a glory that they looked back at with envy to the time of David and Solomon, the glory days of Israel. They wanted that restored, and they hoped that the Messiah would do that and more for them. These men were desperate to discover the Messiah. And yet when the Messiah came, these Jewish leaders and their followers, they failed to recognize him. And indeed, they put him to death. And this is the first point that we can draw from Paul's words here. Simply this, that religion means nothing if it fails to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many who speak in religious words. There are many who speak of hope and of faith and of believing. And they use the words of the Bible and the language of religion. But they never find the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace to find Christ, the true hope of Israel. Another thing that we see here is that Paul persuaded these people concerning Jesus. That is, he spoke to them and endeavoured to be persuasive about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He used the Old Testament scriptures, he used Moses and the prophets, and Paul was a most able and diligent teacher. He was a Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament scriptures and he knew about the hope of Israel, both from the Jews' perspective and having met the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And therefore, he was best positioned to speak knowledgeably and persuasively about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. It takes more than persuasion to save a sinner. You can be persuaded about the value of faith, about the nature and character of the Lord Jesus Christ, but persuasion itself is not sufficient. Salvation is a gift. It isn't a lesson that we learn. It's not a proposition that somebody makes to us. It's not a human decision that we make. There are people in hell right now who listened to Paul that day in Rome, speaking persuasively about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came away from that meeting and they thought to themselves, that man certainly knows his Bible. That Paul certainly made a good case for what he believes. You know, a powerful preacher can move your heart, but it takes God the Holy Spirit to open a heart, and there is all the difference in the world. And here's another point. Some of these people believed the things that were spoken, and some of them believed not. When the gospel was declared to these people, some of them believed and some of them did not. So it always was, and so it always will be with the gospel. And I'm not talking about conversions in the way that some preachers or evangelists like to talk about getting people saved. What I'm talking about is this, that when the gospel is preached in our hearing, week by week, whenever the Lord brings us around his word, whenever the Lord opens up the opportunity and the possibility for us to hear the gospel, right here, right now, some of you believe and some of you do not. What makes that difference between those who believe and those who do not believe? Simply this: the will and the purpose of God. What, you might say? Not my free will, not my choice, not my decision, not the skill of the preacher, not the circumstances of my life, not my will in this matter. Well, no. All of those things are there in the mix. But what makes a new life is God's gift of faith. Salvation is a gift. Faith is a gift. Our natural, sinful, rebellious opposition towards God must first be overcome, and only God the Holy Spirit can open a sinner's heart and enable us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, God himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, must take the initiative for anyone to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it like this. There are many reasons why a person will not believe the gospel. But there is only one reason that they do. And that is that God gives them grace and enables a sinner to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of his blood and in the way in which God saves sinners and come trusting with faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God open our hearts, grant us faith, and bring us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.